location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a pizza paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The Bears were out today. Sell-off on Wall Street, lots of it.
There's an old saying in Wall Street, when you can't sell what you want to sell, you sell whatever you can. And I think that's what brought the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ down today. They couldn't sell certain things in China and other areas, and they had to sell them in America.
Art Cashin, Director of Floor Operations, UBS Financial Services. Today's 4% drop of the Dow preceded by a 9% loss of the Chinese markets. Wall Street officials acknowledged some technical problems contributing to the monster drop today. More money for more war. A lot of that's what the military wants.
Bucking increased opposition to the war in Iraq, Defense Secretary Robert Gates told senators they need to provide another $100 billion for the war by next month.
Timely enactment of this supplemental request is critical to ensuring our troops in the field have the resources they need.
But Democrat Robert Byrd, chairman of the committee that controls the money, questioned pouring so much more into a war with no end in sight.
Congress is not a rubber stamp or a presidential lapdog.
But Democrats are divided over how far to go in trying to put limits on money for the war. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
What a scene it would be, huh? Iraq and its neighbors sitting around a table, talking peaceful coexistence. I mean, we're talking about Iran and Syria with CBS's Dan Revive.
Those two countries, Jim, the Bush administration hasn't wanted to give them a place at the Iraq table, but Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced this neighbors meeting as a new initiative by Iraq's government,
which we are going to fully support.
Patrick Lawson with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy comments.
Don't think this is going to be the centerpiece of U.S. strategy, but it's going to be a small part of what the administration does in Iraq.
Live in Washington, Dan Revive, CBS News.
It is the kind of cold case that is not uncommon in the Deep South, going back to the days of civil rights activism. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
It was a cold-blooded hate crime. O'Neill Moore, a black deputy sheriff in Louisiana, was on a routine patrol in June 1965. When a pickup truck with a Confederate decal pulled alongside. Shots were fired, and Moore died in his cruiser. The killers have never been caught. The O'Neill Moore murder is just one of about 100 cases, 100 cold cases now getting a fresh look from the FBI. And agents say they're pursuing promising new leads in more than a dozen of the race-related crimes. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
Cervical cancer, the numbers of those who have it may surprise.
It is a quite widespread problem, especially among young women.
Jennifer Wu, gynecologist, Lenox Hill Hospital, New York. First broad study on the subject shows 1/4 of all American women ages 14 to 59 are infected with the sexually transmitted virus that can cause cervical cancer. Market recap, the Dow did drop 416 points today, closing at 12,216. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Hello?
Hey, this is your cell phone.
Huh?
You know, you treat me like a kid.
What?
Oh, sure, you've cut the cord, but you don't realize how much I've grown up. I can do speed dial, text messaging, voicemail, video, wireless internet.
Yeah.
I can even help you keep your kid off drugs.
Keep my kid? How?
You talk to your son about not smoking marijuana, right?
Oh, of course.
Well, some other people are telling him something different. Here, let's send him a text message. Ask him what he's up to.
Good idea. Let's do it.
Staying in touch. The Anti-Drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
And you got to wonder what the guys in Detroit are thinking today as Toyota announces a brand new billion-dollar manufacturing plant in Mississippi.
Toyota's expanding as the American auto company shed jobs. Global Insight analyst John Wolkanowicz says Toyota's products do well in the marketplace and, despite several recent recalls, still have a reputation for quality. Wolkanowicz says Toyota had been holding back, worried about a Buy America backlash, but no more.
I think they're just going for it now. They're going to try to supply what the free market demand for their products really is.
Toyota wants to build most of its vehicles in the markets where they're sold. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Ever lose your luggage? High-tech baggage tagging system already in use in Las Vegas showing promise for reducing lost airline luggage. This summer, an industry airline group will decide whether to force airlines to deploy the technology worldwide. Radio frequency ID baggage tags. They transmit the bag's identity number, much like a toll road pass. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
I love football. I've always wanted to do sports broadcasting. Oh, that would be such a cool job to have.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
And he's running down the field. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's at the touchdown. I don't want to do that kind.
Her Match.com username is 2Bits12, and you can email her right now. Go ahead. We guarantee if you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. Visit the all-new Match.com for details.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
I am present and accounted for. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins from the rain-soaked left coast of these United States. We originate in San Francisco. This program's live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we take your phone calls. We even pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're going to talk about the expansion of poverty in this country. It's one of those areas where Bush can proudly say, we're number one. Also, later this hour, Craig Harding is going to join us from Global Green Solutions. He's an expert on alternative energy, ethanol, biodiesel. And we're going to talk about the difference between corn-based ethanol and sugar-based ethanol and why it is that we promote corn over sugar. And whether biodiesel solutions might be better than any kind of ethanol. That's coming up later this hour. Next hour are what's becoming a daily segment about the U.S. intentions toward Iran. Professor Michael Intrilligator, he's a guy who went to school for a long time. He is a professor at UCLA in both economics and political science, and we're going to get his take on America's intentions toward Iran. Looking forward to talking with him again. That's about an hour away. And our weekly update from Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org, who's covering the Libby trial, where a juror was dismissed yesterday. And my trial lawyer buddy down the hall, Larry, saw me entering the building today, and the first thing he said is, "Hey, Peter, why isn't there a verdict in the Libby trial?" So that's the hot potato I'll pass along to Jason a little bit later. And then lots of room for your phone calls in our third and final hour in the free speech zone. And as usual today, I regret to inform you that we will have no time to discuss the latest rehab ins and outs of Britney Spears, her haircut, or the disposition of Anna Nicole's cadaver. I'm just sorry, there won't be enough time. But we'll have time for almost anything else you want to discuss. Also, an update on the situation of keeping Peter B. live in Phoenix. We continue to ask you to let the station know if you think it's a good idea to keep this program live in the afternoon slot on KPHX. I do want to ask you, though, please don't make any phone calls, particularly to station personnel at home. Let's keep it to email. Let's keep it civil. And let's keep it not personal. The issue for me is that I've worked hard to develop a connection with you listeners in Phoenix, and I want to keep it. It's that simple. So you can drop me an email and also send one to the radio station, to Billy Foster. His email is bfoster@aaphx.com. That's bfoster@aaphx.com. And copy me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And by the end of the week, we'll know what the disposition is. I hope they'll review the decision. That's what I've asked them to do. And we'll see how that all turns out. And in any event, the show will go on. Joining us right now is Dr. Avis Jones DeWeaver. She's Director of Poverty Education and Social Justice Programs at the Institute for Women's Policy Research.
Somebody do something. The present situation is abstract. Listen.
That's my man, Johnny Guitar Watson. I was in the baloney section.
I'm working 40 hours, 6 long days, and I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody. Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch? Yes, it is. Somebody doing something sick.
Now, if I were to declare that this song by Johnny Guitar Watson, Ain't That a Bitch, should be the theme song for every American living in poverty, well, we can say that that song would have become wildly popular under the reign of George W. Bush. The transfer of wealth in this country over the last few years and the track that we are on to continue that is breathtaking. With the tax cuts for the rich and other preferential treatment, a lot of people have been waiting for that to trickle down to the average working family. But it hasn't happened because while there have been no tax cuts for the wealthy, working families have had to absorb the shock of increased percentages of their health care insurance, higher copays, higher exposure on public education costs at higher institutions, right down the line. And the rich people who got Bush's tax cuts are unaffected, but many of us are on the line and getting closer to that line of just one paycheck away from homelessness. As I mentioned, Dr. Avis Jones DeWeaver is Director of Poverty Education and Social Justice Programs at the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Jones DeWeaver.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And tell us just what the latest data show about how extreme this has become, the separation between the rich and poor in this country, and the sheer numbers, increasing numbers, of people living at or below the poverty level.
Oh, well, it's just simply staggering. The latest statistics, which are the 2005 census data, show that we have reached a 32-year high in the number of Americans who are living in severe poverty, and that's classified as people who are making less than 50% of the official federal poverty line. So that translates to some 16 million people across the nation who are living in severe poverty.
What's the household income related to that? When people talk about 50% of poverty or 200% of poverty, my head spins.
Exactly. It varies depending upon the household size. So just to give you an example, if it is a family of four with two adults and two children, the poverty threshold is about $20,000, and so people who are living in severe poverty only have about $10,000 to live off of.
Okay.
If it's a single mother, for example, with two children, severe poverty would count as someone making only about $7,000 per year to support two children. So it's really, really quite meager existence.
So we now have, is it correct, about one-sixth of Americans are living at or below that 20,000, roughly, poverty line?
Exactly. And the thing is, it's something that has been getting worse for years now, but for the most part, people here in Washington, D.C. have been quite silent about it. Poverty has been rising every year since the year 2000. It finally held steady in 2005, but not only has poverty been rising, there has been just been greater and greater numbers of people living in severe poverty. So the people who are poor are just getting poorer. And as you mentioned earlier, through tax cuts and other methods, people who are rich are just getting richer.
Well, and $3 a gallon gas is a real hardship on working people, many of whom commute longer and have older cars that don't get good mileage.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just a snowball effect, and it really is piling up, isn't it?
It is, and in every sort of form imaginable. Just think about it. We've gone nearly 10 years now, roughly 10 years, without a minimum wage increase. Think about all of the things that are so much more expensive now than they were 10 years ago, even a couple of years ago. When you're talking about gas, you're talking about housing prices, you're talking about the price of any and everything. So to think that Americans are having to do more and more with less and less is really quite against, I would argue, the moral standard that we claim to perpetuate around the world.
Mm-hmm. And can you put a face or give us an anecdote of, you know, how this impacts people? Because a lot of folks who are comfortable hear this and they say, well, that's too bad. And, you know, maybe they want to push the button and listen to something else because, you know, listening to the poverty of other people is kind of a downer. But
yeah.
I think it's important for people to understand that it could be a coworker. It could be somebody living in the apartment right next to you.
Exactly. I think that's a critical question to answer because I do a lot of talking about poverty around the nation in several different venues, and I got a very similar question from a college student when I was talking about this issue just a couple of years ago, and she was basically asked me, what's it like to be poor in America? And when you think about it, a lot of people really don't know. The typical poor person in America isn't just sitting back at home resting on their laurels doing nothing. The typical poor person is out there working every day, working hard, trying to bring up their kids, trying to do everything that's right, trying to live by those rules, but they just can't get ahead. The cost of housing is so high, they just can't get ahead. They have food insecurity, which means that they can't really count on being able to afford three meals a day, 7 days a week for themselves and their children. So oftentimes parents have to go without so that their children can eat. It means that you might have to choose between having to pay your light bill or your gas bill this month. And if you're in a cold climate, that could be a life or death situation because you're caught in a situation where you're trying to heat a house under very unsafe circumstances. So all of those things really translate to working as hard as you can, living by the rules, doing what you were told as a child you need to do to make it in society, but for some reason it's just not coming together for you.
Well, and it's been a while for me, but I used to live on the edge. As a young man, I didn't make a lot of money. My jobs were, I had a long time in between jobs. And I can recall making those choices. You know, do I pay the utility bill or do I buy dinner for the next few days? And it's compounded for the working poor because when you get behind, for example, if you get behind on your utility bill, they cut off your utilities. Then you got to put up a deposit to get the utilities reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people who couldn't afford to pay the bill in the first place, then coming up with that deposit to get it reconnected, and you pay a penalty and you pay for the bounced check.
Exactly. And let's not even talk about this issue if you get caught in that trap of those payday lending sort of scams.
Yeah.
Where you're continually paying exorbitant amount of interest, 300% or more in interest rates, to be able to get a little bit of money to be able to maybe pay off that bill, but then you're stuck in a cycle of having to forever pay this exorbitantly high interest with no way out in sight.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue. If you have a question or comment about the expansion of poverty in America under George W. Bush, give us a call. Our guest is Dr. Avis Jones DeWeaver, and she is with the Institute.
Cycle of having to forever pay this exorbitantly high interest with no way out in sight.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue. If you have a question or comment about the expansion of poverty in America under George W. Bush, give us a call. Our guest is Dr. Avis Jones DeWeaver, and she is with the Institute for Women's Policy Research. You can find them on the web at IWPR.org. I'll say that again, IWPR.org, the Institute for Women's Policy Research. We'll continue in just a moment. Your calls and comments welcome, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentist Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show emanating from your radio. And I'm glad you've tuned our way. Coming up about 10 minutes, we're going to talk about ethanol and other alternative fuels. Is biodiesel actually better for the environment and more efficient than these corn-based ethanols? We'll get an opinion from Craig Harting coming up. With us right now, Dr. Avis Jones-DeWeaver, as I mentioned, Director of Poverty, Education, and Social Justice Programs at the Institute for Women's Policy Research. They're on the web at IWPR.org. And Dr. Jones-DeWeaver, we're in campaign season now, and a lot of people are going to look back to the 1990s. And many people say what a great era it was when Bill Clinton was president, and Senator Clinton from New York seems to want to build on the rosy recollection that many people have. But I'm one of those people who can't let go of welfare reform. I thought it was gratuitous. It was unnecessary. It was not something to help, trim the deficit or help to right our financial wagon. It was really about pandering to rich Americans who resent having their taxpayer dollars go to people that they think of as lazy and that sort of thing. What is the impact now some 10 years on of Bill Clinton's welfare reform, particularly on those who live at or below the poverty level?
You know, I think that the implication of that has a lot to do with these numbers that we're talking about today in terms of the growth of the extremely poor in America. There has been a tremendous decrease in terms of the welfare rolls since 96, the year that law went into action. The welfare rolls have, in fact, dropped by about half. But, and we did see at the beginning of the, well, I say towards the end of the 1990s, we saw more people being pushed out of poverty. But starting in 2000, we saw a complete change in that direction, and more people started to fall into poverty. As we see now, they've been falling deeper and deeper. So while we haven't seen any sort of increase in the numbers of people who are on welfare, so in terms of measuring the effectiveness of that policy, if the overall goal was to get people off the dole, so to speak, it was very successful. But in terms of improving people's lives, it seemingly has not done that. Ultimately, what we've seen instead is record numbers of people now who have to rely on food stamps, who have to rely on Medicaid, because what jobs they've been able to funnel themselves into aren't the types of jobs that are giving them the type of wage rates that they need to be able to make sure that their families live a life free of poverty. So we've just moved people from one level of poverty to another level of poverty and still ending very much behind.
And what's been the impact on children?
Once again, we've seen huge increases in poverty still starting in the 2000s. Initially, we saw, like I said, a reduction in poverty. So a lot of people were at the beginning of the impact, looking at the impacts of welfare reform. Initially, we're saying, well, this is a great thing. We're moving people from welfare to work, and more people are now leaving poverty behind. But what we didn't take into account at that time, or what a lot of people failed to take into account, was that that particular era, the late 1990s, we had a growing economy. We had jobs that were being created, and some people were able to move into jobs. The jobs were there. But once our economy had hit the wall back in 2000 and hasn't really fully recovered at all in terms of the well-being of the average American worker, now we really begin to see what are the long-term implications of telling people that you have a five-year lifetime limit on access to cash assistance. Imagine being a New Orleans resident in August of, well, I'd say July of 2005, right before Hurricane Katrina hit, and maybe you had utilized 4.5 years of cash assistance through welfare. Mm-hmm. You didn't get an extension after Katrina hit. After you hit that five-year limit, that's it. For the rest of your life, you can't receive cash assistance. And so I think that, to a large degree, explains some of these numbers that we're seeing now in terms of these historic highs of Americans who are living in extreme poverty.
Well, and when you couple it to an essential freeze in the federal minimum wage, states have acted independently. But, you know, it has sentenced many people to a real dead-end cycle because the only jobs they qualify for are at or near the minimum wage, and welfare and some of the other support systems have been cut off. And so they're working, but they're not really getting ahead. Now, we just have a couple of minutes remaining. You mentioned New Orleans, and I wanted to direct people again to your website, iwpr.org, where you have a publication that you have released about the race and gender effects of Hurricane Katrina. I wanted to touch just briefly on the hearing that Congresswoman Maxine Waters of Los Angeles held in New Orleans last week. I saw a report on television last night, and it stunned me that Washington has authorized $7.5 billion in funds to help individuals rebuild their homes, yet only 1% of the 160,000 people who've applied have gotten any money, and not one of the applicants has gotten the full authorized amount, which I think maxes out at $150,000 to rebuild a home. This is shameful and really un-American.
It's a disgrace, and I've spent a lot of time down there this past year. I've spoken to a lot of people down there, and everyone has their horror stories. It's like they expect the insurance companies to do right by them. They didn't. They expect the American government to do right by them, and they didn't. And they are understanding that they're really out there on their own. By now, unfortunately, most Americans are tired of hearing about it, so they feel abandoned, and in many respects, unfortunately, they are.
Mm-hmm. And Governor Blanco was defending her decision to outsource the application process and the granting of these funds. And, hey, that should have been a federal work program. Put some people to work to help dish out the money to help rebuild the Gulf Coast. I mean, that's pretty simple.
Thank you. It seems commonsensical, but unfortunately, I don't know where our politicians got their common sense from, if they have any, because there are so many people who are dying for a way to get back to New Orleans. They miss their homes. They miss their communities. But they have a hard time being able to make ends meet there in terms of the cost of living has skyrocketed there. Mm-hmm. The wages haven't.
Right.
And
they don't have a place to live in too many cases, and they got moldy trailers from FEMA. I wish we could talk more.
Yeah.
Avis Jones-DeWeed. Thanks for joining us. Again, the website, iwpr.org. Coming up next, we'll talk about ethanol right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. Let's change it up a little bit. Let's pick up the beat. Let's pick up the pace. Now, that's more better. So you're driving along in your car listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you dialed our way. But have you considered the fuel that you use, huh? Your standard old unleaded regular is now once again pushing up against $3 a gallon. And you see those people gliding by in their Priuses, and you say, I got to get me one of those. Cute little op-ed in the New York Times last Friday. A guy from L.A. complained that he bought a Prius and got that little sticker so he can drive in the HOV lane by himself. And there's a cap on those. Only 85,000 were issued. So now environmentally conscious liberals are ripping off one another's commute lane tags. Well, that's what we're up against. doing the best we can under the circumstances. And I want to find out more about ethanol and about the alternatives to ethanol and, of course, to gasoline. So we invited Craig Harding to join us on the program. He is the COO, Chief Operating Officer of Global Green Solutions. Welcome to our program, Craig.
Nice to be there.
What are you driving? How does it smell?
Well, I wish I was driving biodiesel, but unfortunately those diesel cars are not that easy to come by.
Uh-huh. So you're driving a Luddite vehicle?
I drive a conventionally fueled vehicle.
Wow. I mean, even Al Gore was sensitive enough to show up at the Oscars the other night in some sort of a stretch Prius.
Well, that's when I can afford one, I'll buy a Prius.
Uh-huh. And I heard last night, I'm trying to get this right, one of the groups, one of the investment groups that is buying the TSX utility chain out of Texas, all of their executives ride in stretch hybrids. Now, that's a statement, isn't it?
That is...
I'm filthy rich.
That is a statement.
And I'm saving fuel for all the right reasons. Well, first of all, tell us about Global Green Solutions so we can identify your bias. What do you guys do, and where do you think the future is in alternative fuels?
Okay. I'll try to give you the short version of Global Green Solutions. We are a publicly traded company available on the U.S. stock market, and we believe that there is both a compelling environmental need as well as a compelling business opportunity that's created by the more than threat of global warming, global climate change, and that manifests itself in two ways. One, the opportunity to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and secondly, the alternative for renewable energy or alternative energy. Our business is structured around taking advantage of those opportunities. The most interesting one of those, and one that might be worth some additional discussion a little later on, is turning algae into biodiesel. So that's our bias is we believe that global climate change is real. We believe greenhouse gas emission is a real problem, and we believe that we can both do something about that that benefits the environment as well as makes money for our shareholders.
All right. I do want to come back to algae as a fuel source and let you tell us a little bit more about that. But I wanted to get the comparatives here. I am not an expert, and let me just stipulate that right away. But when I see the President of the United States in his State of the Union message trying to acknowledge part of the problem, you know, that we're addicted to oil and we have a foreign oil problem that compounds it, his proposal is to use more ethanol from corn than it appears possible for us to produce. And I have been told, and again, this is secondhand information that I've read and not expert research, that sugar actually can be used to produce ethanol in a more cost-effective way if it were not for the price supports that we place on sugar in this country. And it appears that the whole push toward corn-based ethanol is to pay back political favors to Democrats and Republicans from the central farm states, and it appears to mostly benefit a huge company called Archer Daniels Midland.
Well, there is there's no question that the drive behind ethanol is not based on its pure market attractiveness as an alternative fuel in general, regardless of whether it comes from corn or sugarcane. And secondly, no question that the farm lobby, and whether that's a payback for political favors or whether that's just now embedded in the political culture of this country, the farm lobby has caused the significant subsidies to be put in place that allow ethanol to be competitive. So, in essence, I don't particularly believe, our company doesn't believe, that The government ever does a very good job of picking winners and losers in any business segment, and no government ever has. The Japanese government tried it, and they weren't very successful either.
Mm-hmm. Craig, can you talk a little more into your phone? I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Thanks. Now, what about the comparative value of, you know, a pound of sugar cane and a pound of corn producing an ethanol-type fuel? Is sugar more efficient in that process? Does it deliver more BTUs?
No, because they're both once ethanol is ethanol, it produces the same amount of BTUs. Ethanol wherever it's produced from is ethanol.
Okay.
So the argument is perhaps that sugar is a better feedstock for turning into ethanol, but ethanol itself just has some challenges, again, whether it's produced from sugar cane or from corn. In fact, you know, the big proponent and the big implementer of ethanol from sugar cane is Brazil. And if you really dig into what's happening in Brazil, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres of rainforest that's being cleared to make way for growing sugar cane.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a particularly positive environmental trade-off there either.
Okay. And by the way, if I'm just off base, it's all right to just say, well, Peter, frankly, you're full of it. The sugar thing is a red herring. I just had read that, and I couldn't determine whether it was a credible argument or not.
Well, it's really fascinating, and in terms of when you look at all the articles that are published, certainly some large number of them have a self-serving bias, and you have to read the research and very carefully to determine how much of it you want to believe or on what it's really based on.
Mm-hmm. All right, now what about these folks? And I've seen them in Humboldt County, I've seen them in the Bay Area, Berkeley, places like that. They have vehicles, including, you know, converted school buses that run on. They stop at restaurants. And they voluntarily take off the hands of the restaurateur the used oil that was used for a fryer to make French fries, that sort of thing. And it appears to run the engine okay, but when you follow one of those, you immediately want to report to a fast food restaurant and order some fries.
Yep, and that absolutely works. That technology works. It's not a large-scale, long-term, sustainable solution for the entire country, but that technology absolutely works, and the only, as you say, the only difference is that your exhaust smells like French fries.
Yeah, okay. Now, by the way, we're talking with Craig Harding. He is the COO of Global Green Solutions. We're learning, at least I'm learning, maybe you are too, about these various alternative fuels. Now let's talk about algae, and I wish my Uncle Dan were still alive, because he had a pond on his farm in Ohio. And we used to like to swim in it in the summertime, but it was loaded with algae. And he was a chemical engineer, and he came up with all kinds of crazy schemes to try to kill that algae. And if he knew that it could have been used to power the farm tractors or anything else, he might have changed his tune. But I imagine that algae is something that's very easy to generate in mass quantities. How is it converted into an energy source, Craig?
Well, algae is a plant that is the most efficient photosynthesizer of everything in the plant universe. So it is the most efficient at two things. One, turning the sun's energy into its components, and two, it when it's really happy, it reproduces, at least some species, reproduce 4 to 6 times in a 24-hour period. So so algae's first claim is that it is unquestionably the most efficient plant in terms of photosynthesis. So what you're really doing is converting sunlight into something. Now the other thing that we found with algae is that certain species can contain up to 50% or even more of their dry weight as vegetable oil. So algae, when you grow it right, you can get 50% of it turned into a vegetable oil. And that vegetable oil is similar, I'll use the word similar, to palm oil or soy oil or rapeseed oil, which are the primary feedstocks that are today used for biodiesel.
Mm-hmm.
But in essence, the algae can be turned into vegetable oil.
So, you know, the stock market crashed today. My portfolio is down, Craig. Should I consider a future as an algae farmer?
You could, and I'll give you some of the numbers, and then you can decide for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
An acre of soybeans is capable of producing about 50 to 70 gallons of oil per year. So out of 1 acre, you get 50 to 70 gallons of vegetable oil, basically soybean oil.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Energy proved in a study called the Aquatic Species Program, conducted between 1978 and 1996, that algae, just done in an open pond with some regard to optimizing its growth conditions, could produce about 10,000 gallons of oil from that same acre. So you have a multiplication factor from soybeans, which is
called 50.
Standard today, to algae of more than two orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
Now, it's and that's growing it in a pond, and there are people today who make a living out of growing algae in a pond. In fact, there's a company located in the desert outside of L.A. that basically makes algae in ponds,
mm-hmm.
open ponds, but they make it for medicinal purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Spirulina, which is one of the more prevalent strains of algae, has wonderful nutritional value and vitamin value. So
what's the wholesale price for algae? If I grow a big pile of it, how much are you going to pay me for it?
Well, if you extracted the oil, vegetable oil today, wholesale price of vegetable oil as a feedstock for biodiesel is somewhere in the $2 to $2.50 a gallon range.
Mm-hmm.
So the oil that you produce, the vegetable oil that you can produce out of algae, has that kind of a value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we actually studied the Aquatic Species Program research diligently, and in fact, our scientists are friends with a lot of the scientists that participated on that program.
Mm-hmm.
And the program ended, and they said, well, we don't think this is necessarily feasible as a long-term solution either, even at 10,000 gallons of oil per acre. And the problems we run into is we did this research in the New Mexico desert, and sometimes it was hot and sometimes it was cold, so the temperature didn't stay very steady, and that caused our algae problems. And
mm-hmm.
we were growing it in open ponds, and gee, by golly, you have water that evaporates from open ponds, so you lose water.
Right.
And by the way, algae really, when you put it growing in a pond, it really only grows at about the top quarter inch, and as soon as it creates this quarter inch surface on the top,
mm-hmm.
light can't penetrate below significantly, so you only use a very small piece of the water area you have. And,
Craig, you're talking me out of it. I was just
wait. And oh, by the way, you can contaminate it. So, this really doesn't look very good. But since that time, a number of companies, including ours, have said, yeah, but if you develop this as a closed loop system, as if we were building a process plant,
mm-hmm.
and we grew the algae in a closed environment,
right.
and we recirculate and recycle the water, so we don't use any water. And since we have a closed loop system, we're very careful on the gas and the air that we allow to come in. And now, instead of producing 10,000 gallons of oil, we can produce 150,000 gallons of oil.
All right, Craig, I got to take a break and fuel up. We'll return in just a moment with Craig Harding. He's the COO of Global Green Solutions. We'll take your calls in the next segment, too. People are lining up. You can dial in right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Philly Sunshine Show. Philly Sunshine Show. With Pilar. With Pilar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Philly Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let's fuel up. You don't need gasoline. You don't need ethanol. You can get some biodiesel out of algae. Well, I'm waiting for him to come up with a way to get energy out of the plaque, you know, between my teeth, and then I could floss and produce energy. What do you think of that, huh? Our guest is Craig Harting. He's COO of Global Green Solutions. You got a website, Craig?
GlobalGreenSolutionsInc.com. Inc.com.
All right. We got some callers with questions. Up first, I believe this is Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed.
Greetings.
How are you doing?
Well, and yourself? I've been getting over the effects of a cold.
Well, we're doing what we can.
Three questions for Craig. What about biomass? Is he into the conversion of that into to fuel?
We actually have another piece of our business where we are converting waste biomass into steam or into electricity. We are in the middle of working on a project in the Bakersfield area, as a matter of fact, and we'll be doing similar projects in South Africa.
What I was driving at was through the use of enzymes, taking that, because cellulose is just a higher form of sugar, just more molecules in the chain.
Yeah, that research certainly shows promise. That's not an area that that we have any particular expertise. That's one of those research areas that I know others are into, and if you're able to enzymatically break down cellulose and turn that into ethanol, now ethanol certainly is a better deal than it is today, in my opinion.
With the the algae conversion, when you have, what's the byproduct that's left over? Is it edible or is it burnable, or what would be left over after you extract the oil?
It really depends on the species. There are some unknown number of species, but certainly in the hundreds of thousands. And the species that we are currently using, the byproduct after the algae, after the oil is harvested, would be suitable as either an agricultural feedstock or a fertilizer feedstock, or you could potentially dry it and burn it. There are other algae that actually hold more promise in their oil potential, where after the oil was harvested, the byproduct would be diatomaceous earth.
Different algae are you looking at right now?
Well, interestingly enough, in the 18 years of the government program, there's now published research on about 300, only 300 species of algae. So we are only doing current research on a small number of those. One of the things we're developing as intellectual property is the ability to rapidly select and screen algae. So we will be screening from literally thousands of different species to ultimately select the individual strain that we want to use for a particular product. For example, the algae strain that we grow and produce for biodiesel will be different than the algae strain that we grow and produce if we're trying to make another product. Biodiesel, or the vegetable oil that's a precursor to biodiesel, is very marketable right now and very exciting because of the issue with energy independence in this country and many others. But the algae itself has far-reaching opportunities broader than just vegetable oil. And in fact, there's if you start doing a little bit of research on algae, you find that there are products out of certain species of algae, for example, that are found in the Arctic waters that are being used as cancer treatments. Hmm. So it's but how we would grow and harvest those would be different, because we're actually trying to produce a different product.
Algae, such a multifaceted friend.
It sounds like, to pun, it sounds like a growth industry. one last question. Some of the other side, the pseudoscientists, say that it takes more energy to produce a gallon of alcohol than you get out of the... in other words, it's a negative energy equation. There's more energy used.
Understood, yeah.
For the distillation and everything. And I think through careful processing, I don't see how that could, you know, that could be if you recapture the heat that it takes to distill.
I was verifying all of my thoughts on that a couple of days ago, and it looks to, and the research is all over the board, but it looks that the energy balance for ethanol produced from corn is that you put in about one unit of energy and you get about 1.5 units out. Now, the difference and one of the advantages of biodiesel, and why biodiesel is biodiesel, by the way, dominates Europe. Ethanol is nothing in Europe. And in the case of biodiesel, you put in about one unit of energy to grow and manufacture it, and you get about 3 units of energy out. So I don't believe there is a negative energy balance on ethanol, but it's pretty clear to me that the energy balance on biodiesel is better.
Ed, you bagged your limit. Thanks a lot. Now to Dave. Welcome, Dave. You're on the air.
Yeah, Peter and Craig. And Peter, did you really want somebody to call in and tell you you're full of it?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
I've got an email address, fullofit at peterbcollins.com.
Okay.
It's very popular.
Craig, I understand the two of the worst offenders, polluters, is... the military and commercial and military jets. Is anything being done in that direction, do you know?
There are some things there that I know are going on that I can't talk about, but I can tell you one thing I can tell you is that the military, at least the non-combat vehicle side of the military, has been an early adopter of biofuels, and probably will be one of the leaders in adopting biofuels.
Craig, I'm sorry, I got to stop. We're out of time. Craig Harding from GlobalGreenSolutionsInc.com. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A 4%, 400-point plus drop on Wall Street made a pretty big noise.
Bloodletting in the market today. It's long overdue.
The Justice Department says its memory is as long as its arm, reopening cold case files from the civil rights era.
Our message should be clear. You have not gotten away with anything. We are still on your trail.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. It's long been the international economic adage, when America sneezes, the world gets a cold. Now they may say it about China. Chinese stocks fell 9% and whammo. The stock market reacted like a brick dropped out a Wall Street window, down 500 points. By mid-afternoon, the Dow closing off 415 points. CBS's Anthony Mason.
The catalyst for the market's collapse came from the other side of the world. Overnight, the Chinese market plunged 9%, its biggest drop in more than a decade. The selling fever spread to Wall Street, where the Dow had been rising relentlessly since last summer. The market had rallied almost 1,700 points between last August and its all-time high last week.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus says the drop is about more than just China.
There were some problems with the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, and several other market makers and exchanges being able to process trades in a timely fashion. So a lot of those trades were executed in bulk, and that's when we saw a 200-point drop in the matter of a minute for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So that drop was really more technical than anything else.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. By no means is there any sense of panic here about the plunge on Wall Street. A spokesman says the president's economic advisors are monitoring the situation, as they always do, whether the market goes up or down. The spokesman says the administration continues to believe that the U.S. economy is fundamentally sound.
Now, this message.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you check a service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
Day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
No, nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
The Justice Department says even cold civil rights cases can still be closed, and CBS's Howard Arenstein tells us the FBI's opening the books again on a bunch of them.
The information comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says suspects on the loose for decades will be hunted down.
Our message should be clear. You have not gotten away with anything. We are still on your trail.
In too many instances, the truth has been hidden for too long. Many individuals have quite literally gotten away with murder.
But FBI Director Robert Mueller acknowledged that some of the information may be too old to pursue.
The cases in which we can move forward, we will move forward.
More than 30 of the cases are in Mississippi. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The Emmett Till case, by the way, has fallen short. A grand jury looked at the evidence, found it insufficient. Till was killed after whistling at a white woman in 1955 in Mississippi. Now there may soon be talks among Iraq, Iran, Syria, and the U.S.
After consistently rejecting advice to talk to Iran and Syria in seeking diplomatic solutions to the chaos in Iraq, the Bush administration has changed its mind. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice told a Senate committee Iraq's government has invited Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and others to a regional conference, and the U.S. will take part and hopes the others show up too.
We hope that all governments will seize this opportunity to improve their relations with Iraq and to work for peace and stability in the region.
This kind of diplomacy was a key recommendation of the bipartisan Iraq study group. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Federal advisors are recommending the FDA approve the first bird flu vaccine, even though it won't protect most people against the killer strain H5N1.
There's going to be more research done to make this vaccine more effective, and there are other companies investigating other vaccines.
Dr. Jeffrey Levy, a trust for America's Health, says it's a good first step. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm
works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
Nope. Just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere. Hello?
Hey, this is your cell phone.
Huh?
You know, you treat me like a kid.
What?
Oh, sure, you've cut the cord, but you don't realize how much I've grown up. I can do speed dial, text messaging, voicemail, video, wireless internet.
Yeah.
I can even help you keep your kid off drugs.
Keep my kid? How?
You talk to your son about not smoking marijuana, right?
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, some other people are telling him something different. Here, let's send him a text message. Ask him what he's up to.
Good idea. Let's do it.
Staying in touch. The Anti-Drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
As ever more jury.
It is useless to resist us.
I am the irresistible Peter B. Collins, your humble host. Thanks for joining us here. It is useless, so stop trying to resist. Coming up later this hour, our weekly session with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter at truthout.org. We'll give you the latest on the Libby trial, that juror who was excused for having contact with information about the trial from the media. We don't know much more about that, but we'll get the details. Also, Jason and his editor at Truthout have a piece up about Dick Cheney's handwriting and how it played in the Libby trial and how it tends to implicate George W. Bush in the smearing of Joe and Valerie Wilson. That's ahead later this hour, but first we're joined by and how it tends to implicate George W. Bush in the smearing of Joe and Valerie Wilson. That's ahead later this hour, but first we're joined by a man we'd call a double doc. Michael D. Intrilligator is a professor of economics at the University of California, Los Angeles, and he's also a professor of political science, professor of public policy in the School of Public Policy and Social Research, and co-director of the Jacob Marshak Interdisciplinary Colloquium on Mathematics and the Behavioral Sciences. That's a mouthful. Professor, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, hi, Peter. Just call me Mike.
I will, but thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We talk almost every day now about Iran and about the moves that the Bush administration has made to, in our view, ratchet up tensions and either create a provocation or permit one to occur that would, in turn, permit Bush to the Waziristan provinces and, I guess, in turn, try to deliver Osama bin Laden. And then he made another surprise stop at the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, where there was a near miss. Apparently the Taliban sensed he was there or suspected he was there and launched an attack that is described as a close call for the vice president.
Well, the news I heard suggests that it wasn't close at all. I mean, they just attacked sort of the outer perimeter of that air base, which is a major base. And he was nowhere near there. He said that he heard a boom is all the only way he was affected by this. So it wasn't near at all, but it was attacking exactly where he was staying.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed over because of a snowstorm. He couldn't get out. And they had a suicide bomber went in and killed quite a few people, the reports are saying. I heard from the BBC just recently, 40, more than 40 people. But the vice president was not at all affected by it.
Mm-hmm. But the trip, particularly the pressure on Musharraf and the tough talk in Australia, did you get the idea that he's trying to position for stronger action toward Iran and trying to unify what's left of the coalition of the billing?
Oh, definitely. You know, John Howard in Australia has been one of our closest allies in everything, including Iraq and possibly in Iran. So I think that was an important part of it. This discussion with Musharraf in Pakistan I found very interesting because many people, including myself, have said that what President Bush and Vice President Cheney have done vis-a-vis al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and Taliban, etc., is basically to outsource. They didn't want to take on the job themselves, so they just told the Pakistanis, you do it. I mean, it's like industrial outsourcing. We send, you know, things to be manufactured in China or call centers in India. I mean, this is the same sort of thing. We're outsourcing what we should be doing ourselves. We got sidetracked because of Iraq. We should have been going after Osama. We had him holed up at one point, and we could have finished the job. We walked away from it. We said, you take care of it, Musharraf, is what we said. So that's outsourcing. And that's confirmed by what Cheney has just said to Musharraf just now in Pakistan, that he hasn't been doing the job. It's a tough job, but why did we outsource it? Why did we do it ourselves? Why are we now going after al-Qaeda rather than going after Iraq, and so-called insurgents in Iraq, which I think that's a misnomer, by the way. These are patriots who don't like their country being invaded and occupied.
Mm-hmm.
I see them very similar, akin to the resistance in France during the Nazi occupation of France.
Yeah.
They don't want their country to be occupied. They resist, and they're fighting against that occupation. So we can call them all kinds of names. Cheney has called them innumerable names, as the president, Islamo-fascists, and oh, just many names. But the fact is, I think that they resent having their country occupied by a foreign power.
Mm-hmm.
A foreign power that's building bases on their soil, dictating how the country is run. This is not at all what people want. So anyway, that's getting sidetracked off Iran into Iraq, but Iran could be, as I say, much, much worse. It's a much bigger country, huge army. Very nationalist, patriotic, a lot of young people there, and they really resent our bossing them around. And this idea that Condi Rice and others have said, well, we'll talk to them, but only if they stop their enrichment. I mean, it's like we want to win the game before we even enter the game. That should be the outcome of the negotiation, not the starting point of the negotiation. They've said that, and I absolutely think they're right.
Well, and that leads me, I don't believe that the Bush administration wants any kind of diplomatic breakthrough with Iran. Now, Rice has recently announced a summit in Iraq about Iraq that will include the neighbors, including Iran and presumably Syria. This appears to be that they've finally relented and accepted some of the advice from Jim Baker and the Iraq study group. Do you take this at face value? I'm a little skeptical that Condi Rice and the team really want to conduct diplomacy in that region.
You're absolutely right to be skeptical. I'm similarly very skeptical given the past history and what they've said and done and so forth. I've been saying for years now, frankly, that we should be negotiating with all the parties in the region, all the neighboring countries, including Iran and including Syria. I've been saying that long before the Baker-Hamilton report on the Iraq Study Commission came out. We did something similar in Afghanistan, and we installed a government there, partly based on a conference we held in Germany. But I think we have to bring in all the affected parties, and certainly the neighbors of affected parties. We have to bring in not only our friends like Jordan and Turkey, but also our perhaps enemies, so-called enemies, Iran and Syria. And so I think they have to be involved in the process. But when Condi is saying that now, it just totally undercuts everything she was saying before now. So I very much share your skepticism about this. I don't think it's an honest, serious attempt to have some kind of diplomacy.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the recent announcements from Washington is that we have offered the ridiculous Star Wars missile defense system that does not work, but that we deploy and pretend is a significant barrier to an attack on the United States. And we're now offering to give the Star Wars missile defense system to European Union countries. And I can't quite get it. Where is the threat that they would be, you know, risking that they need a missile defense shield that doesn't really work?
Well, you're absolutely right that this is a shield that doesn't work. The president insisted on going to deployment, and he's deployed in Alaska and California, in Fort Greeley in Alaska, and also in California, in Vandenberg, what purports to be a system. But it never worked. We tried various tests, even fake tests, where they actually had devices on the missile that was supposed to be destroyed that essentially gave out a signal to say where it was. Even those tests didn't work properly.
Yeah, it was a big sign that said, hit me.
Exactly. That was the nature of the test. It wasn't a real test. It was a fake. It's never passed any serious test. And yet we've spent billions of dollars, literally, putting this system into place. The argument was that they made, well, let's put the thing in and maybe over time it'll get to work. It seems ridiculous. I mean, we try out, we test all kinds of systems, whether it's military or any of the systems, before we actually buy it and deploy it, we test it. We don't just take it at face value and say, oh, it's going to improve over time.
But is the offer of this system to Europe a response to the more muscular stature that the Russians have taken about the new members of NATO? Or is this to soften any potential blow as a result of a U.S. attack on Iran?
Well, the plan, as I understand it, is that we will deploy this missile system in the Czech Republic with a radar system to work with it in Poland. So it's a Poland and Czech Republic that is in a facility if it goes, if it gets launched. And the ostensible reason is protection against Iran. Now, Iran does not have real missiles that could hit us at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfecting them. They have some medium-range missiles, but they don't have these intercontinental-range ones. So this argument that it's to prevent a strike by Iran against us is a bit far-fetched, in
Indeed.
My view.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll return with Michael Intrilligator. He is a professor of economics and political science at UCLA. And if you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Let's check your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. This is a little bit on the west side this afternoon. Here's what's happening. Accident-wise, we do have one in Gilroy. It sits on Highway 152 right at Canada Road. Looks like the crash involves a big rig and a pickup truck. They've just been cleared to the right-hand shoulder. CHP is on the scene here. Meanwhile, in Carmel, Highway 1 at Ocean Avenue, an accident here on the right-hand shoulder. Two cars involved. Luckily, no injuries, but a little bit of slowing in that area as well. Afternoon slowing. It is in effect eastbound Highway 25, seeing it slow now in pockets between Gilroy and Hollister. Also Highway 17, that's a tricky drive when there's wet weather. This past couple days, we've had some problems. Right now, things look good. It is a little wet and a little slow southbound side as you approach the Lexington Reservoir. Right now, though, it looks good from that point as you make your way into the Santa Cruz area. This look at traffic brought to you by Office Depot. Don't risk running out of ink and slowing down your business. Hurry into Office Depot for hundreds of ink, toner, and fax supplies. Alex Daly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. And out on the edge of darkness, there is a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country.
That's Imam Cat Stevens, going way back to 1971. Hopping on the peace train, 23 minutes after the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins. My guest, Mike Intrilligator, is a professor of economics and political science at UCLA. And we're joined by John from Carmel Valley. Go ahead, John.
Professor Tom Hartman, Peter B. Collins, Ed Schultz, every left-leaning talk host I know, and just about every pundit I know, says the principal problem in Iraq is the occupation, that everything else is sort of secondary to that, and that's what's aggravating all the unrest from everybody who's engaging in outright terrorist acts to ordinary citizens. And Ed Schultz, one of the talk shows on this station, said very adroitly right after Bush announced the increase of 21,500 troops, he said, you know, I think Bush should have said exactly the reverse. He should have said, we're withdrawing 21,500, and we're doing this especially to prove to the Iraqi people that we don't intend to just stay there indefinitely and occupy their country. Instead, he did exactly the opposite. So the question I'm asking you is, why do you think Bush, it's so obvious to everybody that he just intends to stay there indefinitely as long as he can get away with it? Why?
Mike, you want to take a shot at that?
Sure, I can take a shot at it, but I'd like to contrast what Bush has done with this so-called surge to what Tony Blair has done with the British troops in Iraq. He's withdrawn troops from Iraq, and he's redeployed some of those back into Afghanistan, mm-hmm. where we really have a problem with the Taliban coming back into power, and again, possibly hosting al-Qaeda in Afghanistan with training bases and all the rest.
Ah, but we have a secret spring offensive planned.
Well, we'll see. we'll see. But why is he staying there is the question. And I think you have to go back to why he went there in the first place. What were the reasons he went in? He gave all these different reasons, some contradictory, some disproven by fact. They claimed they had weapons of mass destruction. They were connected to Osama bin Laden. They were involved in 9/11, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Regime change was another big one.
Well, regime change was part
did.
Of the whole thing, and you know, axis of evil and all this rest. I don't buy any of that. I've looked at this, and here are the conclusions I've reached, that what really drove him to do this was, personally, for President Bush, I think it was actually a reaction to their attempted assassination of his father.
Tried to kill my daddy.
They tried to kill his father. You tried to kill my daddy, I'm coming after you. It's Texas justice.
You know? Now, since you mentioned that, Mike, we got to put context around that. The attempt to kill Bush Sr.
Yeah.
was when he went back to Kuwait with
right.
two of his boys who were trying to win some contracts and make some money to accept their adulation for the liberation of Kuwait.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. So I think that was a major motivation. I think another major motivation, and this may seem a little weird, is the Oedipus complex. He wanted to outdo his dad. His
mm-hmm.
dad went in and eventually withdrew, and he wanted to show his dad that he could do better than he.
What do you think his dad
Oedipus
thinks
complex.
Of him right
you know, that,
now?
That's what it's called by the psychologist, the Oedipus complex. I think that's a problem.
Mike, John was asking, and I don't know if you heard it, he wants
no.
to know what daddy thinks of Bush 43 now.
Well, of course, he's never said anything negative or damaging, but his friends and associates have. And Brent Scowcroft, who was his national security advisor, has denounced this. People have gone back to George Bush, the senior, his memoirs, and he quotes in his memoirs at length what would have happened if they had gone into Baghdad, and he makes these predictions in his book, in his memoirs, and that's exactly what did happen.
Yeah.
The father had it exactly right.
John, thanks for your call. Now to Troy in Phoenix. Troy, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Mike Intrilligator.
Peter, can I just add one thing to answer the previous question?
Sure, Troy, hold on. Go ahead.
I've tried to explain the motivation of President Bush, but there's more than Bush. I mean, even more significant, maybe I should say, than Bush, are the people surrounding him, these so-called neocons, who had been drafting and planning this war long before the administration came into power. They formed this group called the Project for the New American Century.
Mm-hmm.
And they were drafting these plans for an invasion of Iraq long before the inauguration.
Right.
In fact, when at his first cabinet meeting, they were discussing this. You remember his Secretary of the Treasury wrote a book about his experience.
Snow.
And he
mm-hmm.
said he was flabbergasted that they were discussing this at the very first cabinet meeting, long before September 11th or anything else.
Yeah. We're tight for time here, so let's get Troy in real quickly.
Okay,
go ahead,
sorry.
Troy.
Hey, Mike, I just want you to clarify what you mean by the Star Wars is a farce. Do you mean the actual Star Wars with the lasers, or are you talking about the land defense where they shoot them down with ships?
The whole missile defense system that we have built and doesn't work in Alaska
right.
and California.
And my main, okay, if that's what you're talking about, my other question is, are you disregarding all of the successful tests that occur over Hawaii? Because I actually have a friend who builds a missile to get shot down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're five of the last six shooting his missiles down. So
yeah.
How can you say it's completely a farce when they just shot five or six down?
Okay, I refer to those tests, which were phony, which were faked.
Yeah. So
basically,
they were phony tests. That's
yeah.
your,
phony
tests.
That's why were they phony?
They're not real field
okay.
tests of the technology. Gentlemen, I'm sorry we're out
sure.
of time. I'd love to go on further, but the clock is running. Thanks to Professor Mike Intrilligator. Troy, thanks for your call. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Generation Me.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. A new study confirms what we all suspected. Today's college students are full of themselves, self-centered, and narcissistic. I don't harp on this to offend anyone. I love college students. You're a coveted demographic, but the experts don't lie. They change their minds a lot, but I'm sure they think it's all true. And they say that years of you being told you are special have left you actually believing it, and now you think you're the center of the universe. As a result, you're having quarter-life crises at the age of 25 and having trouble starting and keeping close relationships. On the other hand, you do have all the skills required to succeed in American Idol, including self-confidence and an inflated sense of how talented you are. My generation loves studies like this because it gives us a chance to be sanctimonious until we remember that we're the parents who put all that garbage in your heads. But we have an excuse, okay? We were reading all those parenting books, which said that a B-minus could make you feel retarded, even though there was no such thing as retarded. And that if we corrected your spelling mistakes, you'd write a revenge memoir about your parents psychologically abusing you. So we told you you were special, when we knew that you were mostly pretty ordinary. We made it up, okay? The fact is that you are a tiny cotter pin in a giant machine run by the man. Your 401k is not guaranteed, and your Social Security is toast. There, you have the truth. What do you want from us now? We will do anything to make it up to you. But please, at some point, you have to leave home and get a dang job. Your mom and I are not your payday lender, and we really, really want your room. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM,
888-ANTI-SPAM,
or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Mr. Collins has accepted no payola from Gnarls Barkley, but if he offered, we'd talk about it. Because I'm just crazy, that's all. It's time to check in with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter at truthout.org, the author of a young man's memoir called News Junkie, and our point man for the Scooter Libby trial, which is formerly known as the CIA leak case. And Jason, I got to hit you right between the eyes, because as I entered the building here today, my landlord, the trial lawyer, Larry, glared at me and he said, "Why isn't there a verdict yet?"
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, I wouldn't need this much time.
Well, it's definitely something to be concerned about. And, according to some former federal prosecutors and people that are, obviously who have years of experience in high-profile cases, it obviously indicates two things. One, you get a couple of people saying that they fear that there could be a hung jury. And then there are a few others that are saying, well, he has five counts against him, and they're all related to various charges of perjury, lying to investigators, and obstruction of justice. And perhaps they're spending a bit more time trying to figure out whether the evidence supported some of those charges. But it, you know, at this point that, you know, entering or ending, I should say, the fifth day of jury deliberations, it's absolutely a concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one former federal prosecutor said to me that what she fears is that it will turn out to be a hung jury. That's something that, you know, is very much on her mind at this point, and not that it that there would be an acquittal, but just that, you know, because they're spending so the jurors are spending so much time that you know that could happen. But I should also just let you know that a short time ago, I wouldn't call this breaking news. However, the jury actually sent a note to Judge Reggie Walton at the end of the day, and the note was a question of some sort. We don't know what that is, but Judge Walton said that tomorrow morning at 9:30 he's going to address this jury note.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears that they're still deliberating and that they're not anywhere near, or at least it doesn't appear that they're near the end of their deliberations. They sent him a note, and it's basically it was a question related to one of the charges. And more information that they would like to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
But then we can also look at this, you know, on the flip side that, you know, the jurors are obviously a very capable group, and they're taking this very seriously, and they're being methodical. I think it's just real hard to tell, you know, exactly what's going on behind the scenes, and everything, you know, for the most part just is reading tea leaves at this point.
Well, and I will be the first to confess that I have a bias here. I've looked at this and I've listened to the testimony with a biased ear, and I believe that Tim Russert really sewed it up, and he wasn't alone. There were seven other key witnesses who, you know, pretty well indicated that Libby didn't tell the truth.
Right, and that's really important that what you just brought up, because that relates to, I believe, one or two of the charges. And as I said, there are some charges, for example, obstruction of justice is in relation to Matt Cooper and what Libby had told the grand jury and federal investigators, basically, that he did not have a discussion with Matt Cooper. And so the charge of lying to investigators, and then on top of that obstruction, you know, is an entirely different charge. And one of the things that came out in the jury trial is that Matt Cooper, for the most part, wasn't the best witness for the prosecution. He did things and said things that during the course of, you know, the few years that that have passed, that just didn't match his original testimony. And you know, he was up there saying that he did not recall certain things. So that relates to an entirely different charge. So I believe, I have to say that my assessment, my analysis of this, is that the jury will find him guilty for lying to investigators and perjury. And I really think the obstruction charge is what's, you know, hanging out here.
Hmm. Now, Jason, you touched on something that intrigues me there just a minute ago.
Yeah.
The five counts. Is each one specific to a context, a person, an explicit charge? It's not just a broad, you know, you can find, you could take count two and apply it to his conversation with Tim Russert, his conversation with Judy Miller, et cetera?
That is absolutely correct, and that is what's really important to keep in mind here, because the conversations with Judith Miller, okay? In fact, what I really want to make a point of here is that in the closing arguments last week, Patrick Fitzgerald was, you know, in no uncertain terms, said that Scooter Libby met with Judith Miller, talked about Valerie playing with Judith Miller, then lied about it. So each charge does relate, which is strange, and you'll have to forgive me because I don't have it down yet, but it does relate to a different reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they need Matt Cooper's testimony. Matt Cooper, there are two charges, I believe, two charges, one obstruction and then perjury that relates to Matt Cooper, then Judith Miller lying to investigators, and so on. So they do sort of like connect the dots.
What's the specific language relating to Russert? Because again, his testimony seemed to me the most persuasive and black and white.
It's my understanding that also that Russert, all three, obstruction, perjury, and lying to investigators.
Okay.
So, and that is where I think that Russert's testimony was explosive in terms of it really sort of nailed the coffin shut, if you will, on Scooter Libby.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Judith Miller was up there, and while I can step out here and say, you know, to you and your listeners that I think Judith Miller, you know, demonstrated that she's been covering up for Scooter Libby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that is, I'm reaching when I say that. But I think the jury taking the testimony for what it is, you know, Judith Miller and Matt Cooper did not make for the best witnesses. Yeah. However, it certainly appeared that Scooter Libby and Dick Cheney and President Bush, you know, handpicked Judith Miller, and that he was covering that part up.
We're talking with Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org about the Libby trial. You got a question or comment, you can bring it on now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, as I think through, again, acknowledging my bias here, Jason, to me, the lying part is really sewn up by the tape-recorded comments of Scooter Libby to the grand jury.
Yes.
The perjury part is equally kind of cut and dried, tied into that. The obstruction, though, requires the jury to assess motive.
Correct.
And if the defense laid a proper trail, and, you know, I was not able to, you know, capture and read every word that the defense uttered in the trial.
Right.
But if they were able to create enough confusion or at least uncertainty about the exact motivation, whether it was inadvertent, you know, whoops, I just told the wrong cover story,
right,
or whether part of a more clear conspiracy to protect the vice president or to destroy Joe and Valerie Wilson,
right,
those issues of obstruction are probably a little harder to evaluate for the jury.
Yeah, and I think that's what I, I have strong feelings that is what they're hung up on at this point. But I have to say that last week, in closing arguments, Patrick Fitzgerald, I read the transcript. He made a very strong case in his closing arguments that Scooter Libby obstructed justice, and I think that he went the distance in his closing arguments and did not present, because Dick Cheney did not take the stand, nor did Scooter Libby take the stand, but he presented verbally how Scooter Libby obstructed justice by bringing Vice President Cheney into the mix. And basically what Patrick Fitzgerald said is that there's a cloud over the vice president. He actually was responding. There's been a lot of ink spilled on the, you know, cloud over the vice president. But how that came about was the defense, Ted Wells, said Patrick Fitzgerald has suggested that there was some sort of, quote, skullduggery going on behind the scenes between Scooter Libby and the vice president. He is trying to suggest that there is a cloud over the vice president. And then he said, and that's unfair. And then when it was time for Patrick Fitzgerald to get up and rebut the closing arguments by the defense, he said, let's talk straight here. There is a cloud over the vice president. It was the vice president that told Scooter Libby to go out and meet with Judith Miller and to leak the national intelligence estimate to her. And then he went further and said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, we believe that the vice president was behind the leak. However, because Scooter Libby obstructed justice and lied, we were never able to truly find that out. That was his presentation of obstruction. And it was very convincing. It was also obviously the first time that we heard the special prosecutor talk about the vice president in a in terms of, you know, possibility of how deeply involved he was.
Right. Yeah. Now, Jason, there have been two contacts between the jury and the judge. One was fairly straightforward. They wanted some more sticky notes and butcher paper or whatever you call
right.
it. And that kind of says that they're very methodical in their approach, and I applaud them for that. If my case were before a jury, I'd want them to be really damn methodical.
Right.
The other piece broke yesterday as the lone juror who refused to wear a red T-shirt on Valentine's Day, that's really about all we know, was yeah. excused by the judge after, I guess, she reported to the foreman, and he in turn told the judge that she had been exposed to some media coverage of the trial over this past weekend.
Right, and again, you know, I think that you, what you just said in terms of the refusing to wear red on Valentine's Day was, you know, there was some speculation at that time. Is she a juror that is on the side of the defense? Is she someone that is actually on the side of the prosecution?
Maybe she doesn't look good in red.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. But let me read to you right here directly from the court transcript regarding this juror.
Well, let's put a little suspense in this because I had to take a break now.
And
we'll do that as soon as we return with Jason Leopold. 888-5-PETER-B if you have a question or comment. 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org right after these important messages on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We'll be right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where next hour is exclusively devoted to your phone calls in the free speed zone. Our number is 888-5-PETER-B. There's a lot to talk about, and I'll be looking forward to your comments. We continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. It's called the CIA leak trial, or the Libby case. And he's got the document there, the transcript from yesterday's proceedings, where Judge Reggie Walton evaluated a comment that came to him from a juror via the foreman, and then excused a woman from the jury.
Right.
Go ahead and tell us about it, Jason.
Right off the bat, Reggie Walton speaking here saying one juror has now been dismissed based upon the acknowledgement on her part that she did have contact with information related to this case. I did conclude that it wasn't intentional on her part. It was a misunderstanding of what I had been telling them throughout the trial in reference to not having contact with information outside the courtroom. But nonetheless, it did occur. And what she had exposure to obviously disqualifies her from further deliberating in this case. So I need to know what counsel's position is about how we proceed at this point. Mm-hmm. And then what Judge Walton went into, or I should say what Ted Wells had right off the bat gone into, is, and which is interesting because one would think that he would want to prolong these deliberations, maybe, you know, having it start all over again.
But what if his jury consultant told him, you know, that woman who wouldn't wear the red T-shirt, she's your problem.
Right. Well, that's, by the way, a very, very good point. It's a valid argument. And he said, we would like to go forward with the 11 jurors. Patrick Fitzgerald, of course, probably believing that this woman was on his side, if you will, mm-hmm. Wanted to have the 12 jurors. But federal legal guidelines allow Judge Walton to have the case move forward with 11 jurors. But
not 10.
Not 10,
right.
Correct. And if one of if another juror gets sick or something happens, they would replace that juror and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because, you know, just reading his comments about this, it was, you know, there was talk yesterday about, you know, there's going to be a mistrial, and that wasn't even suggested in here at all. In fact, what I took away from this is that nobody wanted a mistrial.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, you know, what I think it does, what's concerning here is that if Scooter Libby is convicted, of course, we know there will be an automatic appeal, and I think that the defense is going to use that time, that opportunity, to appeal a number of different things, including the fact that they were not allowed to introduce certain witnesses. So I think at this point they're just moving forward. Just let this thing go because, you know, we're hoping that the appeals court, which is very friendly to the Bush administration, is going to reverse all of your decisions, Judge Walton.
Jake joins us from Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, Peter B?
Okay.
I'd like to get Jason's prediction on this question. What will be the next destination on the Dick Cheney surprise visit world tour? Is he going to Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan? Yeah. You know, which spider hole is Dick Cheney going to call into next?
You're going to Disneyland stand.
I would say if Dick Cheney had a MySpace page and if there was some sort of, like, you know, world tour. I know there's a, you know, the Police is reuniting and Van Halen. you know, it's unbelievable. He certainly took, you know, got out of the country in order to fire these
salvos.
Yeah, over at Nancy Pelosi, and it's very bizarre. I mean, this certainly does fit Dick Cheney's character in terms of, you know, strangeness.
Yeah, so, I'd like to see the main, so-called mainstream media actually ask some real questions of Cheney for once. You know, I mean, this guy just lies continually, and he gets away with it.
He certainly does, and I think that, you know, in addition to that, he has, the mainstream media has allowed him to. You know, they have had ample opportunity to ask hard questions, and by the way,
wait a minute, Wolf, you're out of line.
Yeah, so, you know, Wolf Blitzer, you know, I think he... It was surprising because I don't normally think of him as somebody who does that. But listen, the press is out there with the vice president, and the vice president is, for the most part, meeting with them, you know, with the media that's following him on his, you know, world tour. And they're just, you know, lobbing softball questions at him.
Oh, look, there's Dick Cheney sitting right next to Goofy. Thank you, Jake. Now, Jason, I wanted to turn next to a piece that you and your editor, Mark Ash, have put up. It's on the homepage at truthout.org, including some spiffy little handwriting samples from Dick Cheney.
Right.
And in your piece, your analysis is that these handwriting samples tend to include the president in this White House effort to discredit Joe Wilson and presumably using the outing of his wife as simply one tactic in that.
Right. And, you know, and this is, again, and I'm just going to say this, as a reporter covering a trial like this, what I have found in my own experience, you know, over the years, when you cover a high-profile case, it's real important to invest in the transcripts. Because they tell a much larger story than, you know, what you're going to walk away with being inside the courtroom, because you're bound to miss things that come up. Now, in this particular story that that you just highlighted, the note that Dick Cheney had written in it to Scott McClellan was that was basically asking him, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
I'm sorry. Was asking him to exonerate Scooter Libby. And, you know, he started writing and he said, you know, not going to ask one staffer, not going to sacrifice one staffer who this prez and asked to stick his head in the meat grinder. But then he crossed out this prez and wrote that was asked. Now, if you look at the story, the defense, Ted Wells had David Addington was the witness there, and he asked David Addington, can you tell us what this note says? And David Addington went through it and says, it says this prez, and then it's, there's a scratch through. And he said, okay, can you spell it? T-H-I-S. You know, they really made it a point to say this goes up to President Bush. Now, you know, riding that sort of wave, if you will, I want to also, you know, just bring up another point with regard to President Bush. And on Friday's story that I had put out, or that I had published, it was Cheney's role dominates closing arguments at Libby trial. And here we have the Ted Wells, again, in his closing argument, saying, quote, the reason Scooter Libby took 2 hours to have lunch with Ms. Miller is that Mr. Libby understood that the Vice President of the United States had directed him to go meet with Ms. Miller, and the President, President Bush, was behind it, too. That's a direct quote.
Yeah.
And what he's saying there, President Bush was behind it, too, and this was an effort to leak the national intelligence estimate and, you know, in as a way to undermine Joseph Wilson.
Read all about it at truthout.org. Jason, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Peter. Thank
all right.
you.
Jason Leopold. He's also got a memoir out called News Junkie, a good read. Coming up next, the Free Speed Zone. Your calls welcome right here.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Not a fun day on the stock markets in the U.S. today. The Dow fell like a shot put thrown.
closing down 415 points. Art Cashin at UBS Financial Services.
Things were relatively calm, and then last night, or overnight, in China, things started to unwind, and we're seeing financial globalization today.
CBS's Anthony Mason.
At one point this afternoon, at almost exactly 3 o'clock, in literally a split second, the Dow dropped almost 200 points. It looked like it hit an air pocket.
It did. Some kind of computer glitch caused trades to clot up like a huge school of fish, and when they all dumped into the pool at once, the splash got everyone wet. Another reason for the huge stock sell-off, Alan Greenspan. He may not be chairman of the Federal Reserve anymore, but his monotone still vibrates across the financial landscape, and he said the U.S., Chinese, and other key economies, after so many years of growth, are showing signs of being poised for a recession. He said that not long before China fell. That was kind of like whispering iceberg on the Titanic, too. Japan's stock market dropped a quick 3% in its early trading this evening following the plunge on Wall Street. The Wall Street fall, about 4% on the day, followed the 9% drop of China's stock exchange. Huge dominoes falling following Greenspan's comments. The Nasdaq also fell today in New York by more than 96 points. The jury in the Scooter Libby perjury case will return for a sixth day of deliberations tomorrow.
11 jurors have to come to an agreement now, not 12, but that's apparently not making the job any easier. There have been 14 hours of deliberations since a juror was dismissed for improperly viewing information about this case, and still no verdict.
That's CBS's Barry Bagnato. The U.S. will attend a regional conference involving Iraq, Iran, and Syria to talk about stabilizing the new government of Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
I'm pleased that the government of Iraq is launching this new diplomatic initiative and that we will be able to support it and participate in it.
Iran and Syria have been under the gun lately, accused of allowing so many terrorists and insurgents into Iraq, as well as the weapons they need for disruption. Patrick Clawson at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
It is a new approach by the administration, and don't think that this is going to be the centerpiece of U.S. strategy, but it's going to be a small part of what the administration does in Iraq.
Beer drinkers need not worry about the interruption of daylight saving time in Madison, Wisconsin. Lawmakers are moving quickly to push back bar closing requirements to 3:30 a.m. so that when 2 becomes 3, they don't automatically have to close. That way, March 11th will be a normal night's business. On Wall Street, again, the Dow was a brick, down 415 points. The Nasdaq lost 96. Oil prices, $61.50 a barrel today, up 11 cents. This is CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Okay, 17-inch aluminum wheels, all-new Chrysler Sebring Touring, standard. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric Sebring, standard. Other guys, not available. There's got to be something, huh? Steering wheel, Sebring, standard. Toyota and Honda, standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110. MSRP excludes tax.
The FBI is reopening cold cases from the civil rights era. CBS's Bob Orr with just one example.
It was a cold-blooded hate crime. O'Neill Moore, a black deputy sheriff in Louisiana, was on a routine patrol in June 1965 when a pickup truck with a Confederate decal pulled alongside. Shots were fired, and Moore died in his cruiser. The killers have never been caught. The O'Neill Moore murder is just one of about 100 cases, 100 cold cases now getting a fresh look from the FBI. And agents say they're pursuing promising new leads in more than a dozen of the race-related crimes. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
Chrysler is offering buyouts to its workers now, much as Ford and GM have done, though not for quite as much money. Auto workers at Chrysler could collect as much as $100,000 before taxes, plus 6 months of medical coverage after leaving the company. The plan is to cut 13,000 jobs. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Sandy. How can I help you?
Can you tap the service engine light?
Well, of course, I can take care of that for you.
OnStar can run a diagnostic check of your vehicle's key systems while you're driving.
When was the last time you put fuel in the Montana?
Day before yesterday.
What I'm showing is an emission system malfunction. What it means is that your fuel cap's not on tight enough.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Only GM offers so many vehicles with the peace of mind of OnStar.
All you're going to need to do is take it off and put it back on, and then the light will go off. That's all that's wrong.
Thank you. I'll do it right now.
Can I assist with anything else?
No, nope, that's fine.
Do remember that we're here to help you 24 hours a day. Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles and covers unlimited use of all safety and security services. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes after the hour. This is my favorite part of the show, the free speech zone.
We live in a mean time and an aggressive time, a painful time, a time where cynicism rocks the vine, and a time where violence blocks the sunshine. Lifetimes go by in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon, everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune, or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line. You might get laughed at, you might get fined, but do you fear me when I say I feel pain every day when I see the way my friends gotta slay and never get ahead of bills they gotta pay. No way, no way. Some make a living doing killing, Colombian penicillin. Some are willing to play the villain, they just chilling. To pass the time, pass the information, or pass the wine. Pass the buck, or pass the baton. But you can't pass the police or the Pentagon. The IRS or the upper echelon. I think it's time to make a move on the contradiction. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Get to a television and radio station. Bomb, bomb.
The Peter B. Collins Show, Rockin' the Nation. On radio stations along the left coast, Phoenix, Arizona. And on the internet thing, too. Wherever you happen to be, you're invited to participate in the free speech zone. Because as of right now, the First Amendment is still in full effect. Lines open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 388-573-8372. Oh, you got to put a 1 first. So 1-888-573-8372. Why don't you burn up some of those free minutes on your cell phone? Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Well, we talked about poverty, that population expanding under the Bush administration. We talked about ethanol and biodiesel, some alternatives to petroleum-based fuels for your car. We also talked with Professor Intrilligator from UCLA about a variety of issues, mostly about Iran. And we talked about the Libby trial. And there's more to put on the agenda here. One of the things I wanted to mention is just after the show yesterday, I got an email, and it is bouncing all over the web. Because in the last 24 hours, five different people have sent me an email with a link to liveleak.com. And there's a video posted there. And it's not the kind of video we can play on the radio. It's long. And you've got to watch it in order to see what's going on. This is a real-time video from the BBC's coverage of the events on September 11th, 2001. And it's into the coverage, the wall-to-wall coverage that they did. It played at about 10 p.m. London time, which is 5 p.m. New York time. And what is stunning about this video is that it reports that World Trade Center Building 7 had already collapsed. And what underscores the ridiculousness of this is that the British correspondent is shown live from a building maybe a mile from the World Trade Center site. And in the background of the picture, at certain points, Building 7 is clearly visible and clearly still standing as she reports to British viewers that it has fallen down. It has collapsed. And then, at 5:15 New York time, and I watched this video twice last night, at 5:15 New York time, London loses the connection to New York City. Now, I'm confused because on the video, some music comes on, and I can't tell if that's what the BBC got, if suddenly her audio was replaced by some hip-hop, or if somebody did that in post-production after the fact. So this is an unverified video, but if it is verifiable, it clearly shows that the reporting of the destruction of Building 7 on September 11th preceded its collapse by at least 23 minutes. It's weird. It's really surreal. And if you go to the website liveleak.com, you can look at it for yourself. And if you've seen it and you want to call and comment, I'd love to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. Also in the news, great disappointment. The International Court of Justice called the massacre of Bosnian Muslims at Srebrenica in 1995 an act of genocide, but determined that Serbia, the nation, was not guilty of genocide. And I have not followed these proceedings. It's a complex case. There could be good reasons for it. But how do you find that this slaughter was an act of genocide, but the nation of Serbia is not technically guilty of it? Milosevic died before he could be convicted. And last night on television, they replayed the videos from the grisly scene in 1995 as men and teenage boys were rounded up, taken on trucks out of town, blindfolded, and summarily executed. In one of the videos, the cameraman is saying, "Hurry up and kill him because my battery's running down." And it's very clear to me that this was an overt policy of the regime. And how, after the fact, we can declare that it was genocide, but Serbia is not quite guilty of genocide, that's beyond me. Postal rates are going up, and once again, they have ignored my advice. We're going to go from 39 cents to 41 cents. Would you please give us a stamp with a round denomination? Go to 40 cents, go to 45 cents. Something that's easy for numbnuts like me to multiply in my head. I am tired of these stamp denominations with odd numbers. 37, we're 39 now. Just go ahead and suck it up. Go to 44 or 45 cents so that guys like me can calculate in my head. And in the transition, the Postal Service is going to issue a forever stamp. Isn't this touching, friends? We've been through this so many times over the last decades where they jack up the postal rates, yet the way they do it, the new stamps aren't ready in time. So they issue an interim stamp with a D or an E or just an American flag on it, and people use those, and then when the new ones come in, they switch over. Well, now a forever stamp could be purchased for the going rate, but used even when the rate increase takes effect. Isn't that thoughtful of the Postal Service? Now, I'm sure they've run the numbers and they figure that people will buy those stamps and a lot of people will never use them, even if they're good forever. And ultimately, they're going to get our money and they're going to lose the mail often enough anyway. But it would help me if they would, you know, make the postage rate for first-class mail an easily multiplied number. One more item. And I ask our listeners to in Phoenix to help me out with this one. The Supreme Court, I believe, held oral arguments. I'm looking at this story here. Regarding an Arizona man who received a 200-year prison sentence for possessing 20 pornographic images of children. Arizona law imposes a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years for sexual exploitation of a minor, requires a consecutive serve of multiple sentences, and he got 10 years for each of 20 pornographic images. I think this is ridiculous, and I hope that the court will overturn it. I'm an opponent of mandatory sentencing of any kind. I believe the judge should be able to evaluate the case before him or her and apply a sentence that fits the crime. And I don't know the details of Morton Berger. He was a high school teacher, and he got found with child porn, and they convicted him on 20 separate counts. Now, let's stipulate that he's guilty of a crime, possession of child pornography. This is a ridiculous sentencing formula, similar to the ones that sentence people based on the weight of the illegal drugs that they are arrested with. And so I say that the Supreme Court should overturn his sentencing, not the conviction, and should apply a realistic sentence for the crime that he has committed, possessing child pornography, not for each picture. Tell me what you think about that. I'd like to hear your thoughts at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Lines are lighting up, so we'll go to the phones right after a break here and see what you have to say on these and other matters. If you'd like, you can visit peterbcollins.com for links to our live stream and our archive programs. We'll continue straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Oh.
Let's check that drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. This look brought to you by Office Depot. Don't risk running out of ink and slowing down your business. Hurry into Office Depot for hundreds of ink, toner, and fax supplies, all at unbeatable prices. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. On these highways, a few people do need a hand. Let's go to Salinas. Highway 183 at Castroville Boulevard. Looks like a crash here. Two cars were involved. CHP already on the scene, but some slowing in that area. Southbound Highway 1, a bit wet, admittedly. No stalling, crash free. That's the good news, but it is slow in pockets between Monterey and Carmel. Also, east and westbound Highway 152, both signs were seeing slow along Hecker Pass between Watsonville and Gilroy. Also, eastbound Highway 183 under the limit now between Castroville and Salinas. And not a big surprise that eastbound Highway 156 bogs down in both directions, actually, along 156 between Castroville and San Juan Bautista. But stalling, crash free along that stretch. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I'm Alex Daly. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. And our effort continues to keep Peter B. live in Phoenix. If you haven't done so yet, you can send a note to the station. Attention Billy Foster, bfoster@aaphx.com. Copy me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And I'll report back to you on any progress in maintaining our position here live on KPHX in the afternoon. And I want to stress for our listeners in Monterey and Eureka and Coos Bay, Oregon, there are no other possible schedule changes, so you don't need to worry. Well, I got a haircut today, and I didn't have to go to the barber or a hair salon. All I did was open up my stock portfolio that I keep on my Yahoo account. And, boy, you can feel the breeze right across the top of the scalp. Peter V. joins us from Monterey. Hey, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
How you doing?
Well, I'm feeling the burn myself, but I'll get to that in a moment. I've got two quick points. Number one, I have an unsubstantiated rumor on that dismissed juror in the Scooter Libby trial.
Really? Tell me.
Well, apparently every time the name Dick Cheney came up, she could smell sulfur in the room.
Good one.
And on the meltdown of the stock market today, I believe it might be time to yell fire, Peter. It might be time to yell fire.
Yeah. And so should I move all my assets to Argentina? What's the best way out of this?
Paraguay is looking like a real good investment about now, Peter.
Yeah, I want to go parallel my investments with the Bush strategy.
Somewhere that's beyond the long reach of Patrick Fitzgerald. I believe that's the operative word here. Again, great program, Peter. I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth. And again, if sentencing guidelines were even inconsistent, then perhaps Rush Limbaugh would be doing 20,000 years in prison for each one of the illegal OxyContin hits he had.
Thank you, Peter. That really puts it in perspective.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Marie, Tempe, Arizona, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes. Hi, Peter B. How are you?
Okay, thanks.
Good. And I love you here in Phoenix, and I will fight and help to keep you on the station.
Well, I love the love. Thank you.
I have a question about the stock market that fell today.
Yeah.
Well, I'm deeply concerned. You know, I'm on disability. And I heard that gold and silver is the way to go, but, how soon, what do you see the future, and how
should
somebody be?
Marie, I'm just going to confess to you that I am not an expert investor. And I have real problems because I buy stocks and I never know when to sell them. So I'll just give you an example of my stellar track record. Mm-hmm. I bought Enron for $63 a share. And then when they went belly up, I was able to sell it for 63 cents a share.
Oh, no.
So don't look to me for investor advice. What I've heard, and some of this is from my great producer, Matt Renner, is that apparently Alan Greenspan, who is no longer chair of the Fed, made some comments that leaked out that he fears a recession in the United States later this year. I also have read online that there was a 9% rollback, a meltdown, in the stock market in China in the last 24 hours, and that helped precipitate the sell-off in the United States. But beyond that, that's anecdotal information that I've heard from other sources, so don't make any investment decisions based on what you've heard from me.
I understand. Can I ask you one other question?
Sure.
And some of the video I've seen about the Twin Towers,
mm-hmm.
it said that there was gold under there that had gotten stolen. Has there been an investigation on that gold and where it went?
You're correct that that has been reported, and I understand that there was a large amount of gold in the basement of one of the two towers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened to it, and I think that's a very good question. What I think is it may be time to get Kyle Hentz back on the program. He's the one who organized the families into the Jersey Girls and the 9/11 truth movement. And I'd love to get more on that. We also have never seen a full investigation into who profited from shorting the stocks of airlines.
Exactly.
Using options around the time of 9/11. So there's so much that nobody has bothered to look into. And Marie, let me just tell you that I get steamed when people who I otherwise respect think that I'm some kind of a kook, because I don't believe the BS, the mythology that has been presented to the to the world.
I don't believe it either.
Of what happened on 9/11. I'm sorry.
I don't buy it. This is my last question.
Go.
I was listening, actually, because I'm legally blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to John Dean's Worse Than Watergate.
Sure.
And he talked about Bush using a similar act to the Disabilities Act, the Congressional Finding of Fact, the Equal Opportunities for Disabilities Act, 42 mm-hmm. U.S. 12101A. And I was just wondering, can people with disabilities use that act to find out research on some of the information that is not coming forth?
All right, that's a good question. I don't know, and if somebody knows the answer, I hope they'll call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marie. Great to have
God
you listening.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Now to Ben and Salinas. Welcome, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, my fellow soldier. On this 9/11 thing, here's my anxiety with that. We need to have a genuine and a full investigation alive. We don't have a clue. That 9/11 Commission dog and pony show, they were told where to look and what to find. Anything else was sealed for 50 years. We're too stupid to know, but we keep getting the bill. And, you know, our freedom is in the balance. I hope people get mad enough to do what we got to do to save our country, because a lot of Jews are dead now because they didn't know what Hitler was doing when they were building those cute little buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bushes and the Prescott Bushes and these animals are still around, and we better wake up and be strong. We need a 9/11 commission. Tell us just the damn truth. Just get to the evidence. Stop treating us like the children. We pay the taxes. We're the bosses. When are we going to act like it? And what's
maybe Ben, what we need to do is we need to outsource this. We need to bring in a truth commission from maybe South Africa or some other country to examine the evidence related to 9/11 and give us an unbiased analysis.
Let Jimmy Carter put together a commission, or I don't know if we can trust Bill Clinton anymore. Hillary's certainly not trustworthy. I like what Dennis Kucinich has to say. I mean, so he doesn't have the charisma. We need a leader, not a movie star.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
We're trying
to get Congressman Kucinich on the program, so stay tuned. Could be later this week. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. There's one line open, 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
We're fighting against people who don't want us in their country. And, you know, those people are going to go wherever they can to get help. Obviously, they're getting help from Saudi Arabia. We know that they're getting help from people in Jordan. We know that they're getting help from people in other Gulf states.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It should be no surprise that they're getting help from people in Iran. These are, you know, we shouldn't be there. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 AM, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. A few minutes ago, I mentioned that the Supreme Court is reviewing the case of an Arizona man sentenced to 200 years for possessing 20 pornographic images of children. That is 10 hard years for each photograph. And I think it's just ridiculous. Todd joins us from Phoenix, wants to talk about it. Hey, Todd, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
And first and foremost, thank you for warning us about the endangerment of your show here in Phoenix. We'll definitely do everything we can to get a message to it. Once again, the email address, please.
bfoster@aaphx.com. And please, no phone calls to anybody's home.
No.
Okay, somebody did that, and I don't counsel it. And, you know, this is not a personal thing. It's not a vendetta. I want the station management to know how listeners feel, and I hope that they'll review the decision they made.
Absolutely, and thank you as well for being independent as an independent business owner as well. It makes all the difference in the world. Thank you.
Okay. So what did you want to say about this case before the Supreme Court?
Arizona is a great place to live, but it's bass ackwards in many ways. A friend of mine several years ago, he was a 19-year-old kid then, met a girl off the internet, a lot of people are doing. They had a fling, and about 6 months later, he woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning being beaten with a baseball bat.
Mm. By whom?
This girl and her quote-unquote boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Told him not to call the police. He calls the police. Police come over. He gives them the girl's name and number. They pick her up. And she says, as it turns out now, as she was saying she was 18 on the internet, turns out she was 17, and she claimed that he had child porn, and he had taped he and his girlfriend when he was 16, and his girlfriend was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so they raided his house. And when they raided it, and he had, the beating of him was, it was all recorded on the internet. He had a camera running at the time.
Yeah.
So it's all recorded. The chick claims he has child porn. Police raid his house, steal all his computers, telephones, fax machines, anything that's electronic, steal concert tickets from his car, steal money, the tapes when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, the tapes that they stole when he was younger don't show up on the police reported things they took. The money doesn't show up. The tickets don't show up. And this isn't about the cops. There's good people and bad people everywhere. There's good doctors, bad doctors, good cops, bad cops. It's not a rant about that. So a year and a half goes by, and he finally flees. No one knows where he is right now. He's had to disappear. They just kept holding it and holding it, and then said, oh, he has two pictures. That after a couple of years and the way everything went, there's no way of knowing what was or wasn't on the computer.
And Todd, what jurisdiction was this? Is this your maximum Sheriff Joe?
I don't know exactly what exact jurisdiction it falls under.
Okay.
And
so your friend is still on the lam to try to avoid these charges, is that it?
He's just terrified.
Yeah.
And
just be clear to me, from your knowledge, the only porn that they found was his homemade videotape of him and his girlfriend when they were younger.
No, they're saying there were two other pictures on his computer.
Uh-huh.
Which, he was a major computer geek. Like I said, he had cameras running in his house all the time, recording his beating.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well,
they got off for that, by the way. There was no time served for the beating.
Well, and I'll just say this, that as a service to my listeners, I have occasionally perused porn sites on the web. And, you know, it's very easy to click on something that ends up being a picture of a young girl. And you may not have sought that out, but it could be found on your hard drive by, you know, computer forensic investigators who go in there later, even if you immediately delete it. And so, you know, it goes to your intention. It's possible, it really is, to have porn on your computer that you didn't ask for.
Absolutely, and doesn't seem to be any, it comes down to a doctor's examination of the nude picture of how old the girl was, and if she's, and him saying she's 17, she's 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so subjective and such a fear, just a fear factor.
Yeah.
And obviously, everyone wants to protect the children. And no one wants anyone to be hurt sexually, physically, or anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, the laws are just insane, and they don't support the intentions that they say they're trying to enforce.
Yeah. Todd, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate you sharing that information with us.
Thank you.
Okay, now to Bob in Phoenix. Hey, Bob, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, how are you?
Doing okay, thanks.
Well, that's good. Hey, I'm really sorry to hear that the management of the station here is decided not to renew your contract or make whatever change. I'm kind of wondering what.
It's not a contract issue, and frankly, you know, I'm in California and they're in Phoenix, and it appears there have been some communication gaps and things like that. So we're working to correct that and make sure that everybody is on the same page. And also, I'm asking listeners just to convey their thoughts to the management, and we'll see what the decision is at the end of the day.
Yeah, certainly. Also, too, hey, I'm an investment educator.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of different things you can do, but the thing about you mentioned about puts with regard to the 9/11 thing and who made all the money?
Right. People bought options on American United Airlines and made thousands of dollars, I think in some cases maybe millions of dollars, betting that those stocks would go down.
It did. And I think all that needs to be done is follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the money. There's an awful lot to that.
Well, it appears that the 9/11 Commission wasn't interested in that issue.
Well, of course not, because they made money off of it, Peter. Anyway, take good care.
All right, Bob. Great to hear from you. Now to Rhonda in Mesa. Hello, Rhonda. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show, and you are very easy to converse with. You know, like some other people, kind of you can't get a word in edgewise.
Uh-huh.
But what I was calling about, over the weekend I saw the movie Breach. And it was an excellent movie. But when I walked out of the theater, I just thought about how the highest people in our government have, there's been a breach, you know. And when's something going to be done? You know, they talk a little bit about Cheney, getting him on that first, and then Bush. I mean, if they both were involved with outing an agent, I mean, that's big stuff.
Well, it is, and it puzzles me that so many people think that the Libby case is insignificant.
Yeah.
And people in the media intone that, and I, you know, I don't think it's as important as a presidential impeachment or something like that, but it really is the only prosecution that has gotten this far against Bush administration officials other than those who were corrupted by Jack Abramoff and their own greed. And it really goes to the core constitutional issues as to whether these individuals have lived up to their oaths of office and truly support and defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. That's not a trivial matter. And yet pundits from across the spectrum kind of snicker at Fitzgerald's efforts to convict Scooter Libby. And sure, I'm disappointed. I think Karl Rove and Dick Cheney should be his co-defendants. And that there was a conspiracy there, and it's pretty clear to me that the White House had a concerted effort to deal with the damage that they perceived from this disclosure. It's interesting, over the last few days, and I'm sorry I can't cite the source immediately, but somebody sent me a link to a very detailed timeline that shows that Joe Wilson was on the White House's smear agenda long before he published that article, at least 60 days before. It goes back to May, even before, based on the trial testimony, Cheney told Libby that Wilson's wife worked at the CIA on a covert basis. So the evidence is there. And once again, we have a media that'll give us wall-to-wall coverage of that loony judge in the Anna Nicole Smith cadaver case.
Right.
But they will not give us substantive reporting on a case that really goes to the heart of the constitutional issues and what some people call a de facto coup d'etat.
Right.
And they're not interested in that because they're, you know, no fake boobs, no blondes, you know, there's no real sex.
No hype.
There's no sex.
Right, no sex. And why they're so afraid of Cheney, the Lord of Darkness. I mean, it just, you know, what Blitzer, I mean, Wolf Blitzer, I mean, he was like, you know, couldn't talk too quickly to say how, you know, how
Rhonda,
he thought about his daughter and all this and that.
Rhonda.
They're afraid to say anything.
Rhonda?
Yes.
You're out of line. I'm just kidding. That was the line that Wolf had.
That was the line he used.
Wolf, you're out of line. Well, okay, but I'll ask the question anyway, and then I'll get back in line.
Right. And then the second thing is, you know, the people in the United States would give their eye teeth to be able to ask the president a question, and these people in the press corps, you know, they come up with the dumbest questions, or they lead right into what Bush is going to say anyway. And it's like, you people, you know, say, try and get something with some substance. Ask a straightforward question.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could get in there on a Jeff Gannon press pass, just to one of those press conferences. And
never be there again.
Right. Once would be plenty.
You wouldn't be asked back.
It'd feel real good. Thanks, Rhonda.
Bye.
Okay. Larry in Phoenix, you're next. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. I was on the way home from work, and I caught the comments about the child porn guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have been my first cup of coffee this morning when I was reading the Arizona Republic either yesterday or today, but and I also have a little concern about the detail and quality of the reporting sometimes. But I thought I read that it wasn't like 10 or 20 pictures, but it was 10 or 20 discs with thousands of photos and cataloged by age and activity. So there might be a little bit more to it on that guy.
Okay. Well, I'm basing this on a New York Times article today.
Uh-huh.
And it says 20 pornographic images, not CDs, not magazines or, you know, videos. Yeah. It says images. And if that is accurate, And I, you know, would be happy to retract my comments here if, you know, but let's say...
If it is accurate, I agree there's things that can
what if he had
get
a whole,
on your computer that you have no idea are there.
What if he had a whole library of child porn? Is 200 years a reasonable sentence? I don't know what the guy did. If all he did was pleasure himself while looking at those images, I consider that a victimless crime. If he actively sought out children and compromised their security in order to photograph them, or he committed sexual offenses against them, that's a whole different story. But if in the privacy of his home he possessed these images and he did nothing to harm another individual, then I don't care how many images he had. There's one offense there. His offense was he possessed illegal child porn. And, you know, I'm not counseling that he's innocent or that they never should have prosecuted the guy. My issue is with these mandatory sentences that require judges to issue these draconian sentences, and it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't reach common sense.
Mm-hmm. The other thought was that you mentioned about the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I didn't even notice anything about that until I heard you on the radio today on the way home. But I did notice in the paper this morning, too, also where Greenspan made some comment about anticipating a recession. So he's still in charge.
Somebody ought to tell him just to pipe down.
Yeah, he's still in charge. They're listening to him.
What was his line about unnatural exuberance or something like that?
Yeah.
All right, Larry, thanks for the call.
You bet. Bye.
The board's open now. If you want to call, we got room for your call in the home stretch of the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. A little bit of a wet afternoon traffic-wise. Southbound Highway 1, again, a bit wet, but we're looking stall and crash-free, just a bit slow in pockets between Monterey and Carmel. We do have problems in Salinas, Highway 183 at Castroville Boulevard. Watch for a crash here. 2 cars are involved. CHP is on the scene, so some slow traffic past that scene. A little bit of a grass fire along Mount Hermon Road. However, there's also rain in the area, so hopefully that'll help things out in the Felton area, but be mindful of some crews out and about dealing with that. Meanwhile, Highway 183 eastbound side seeing earlier problems, now cleared away, but it is still on the slow side between Castroville and Salinas. This look is brought to us by Super 8 Motels. A good cup of coffee is the perfect way to start your day. Purchase a Super 8 travel mug and get unlimited free refills at any of more than their 2,000 locations in North America. Super 8, see you along the way. I'm Alex Daly. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Call Elvis, take me home. Call Elvis, we're all alone. But if you leave the building, I can get to the phone. Call Elvis, we're all alone. Well, Thomas calling, just to wish you well.
I'm Peter B. I've got a line open if you want to talk with us before the end of this hour. Toll free at 888-5 Peter B. Mary joins us from Phoenix with a little more information on this pornography case that I mentioned the U.S. Supreme Court is taking up. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Peter. I was driving home and I heard this discussion and I just wanted to weigh in with, I'm not sure whether or not this 200 plus year sentence is fair and reasonable, but I do want to say that even though this gentleman was not the person who actually perpetrated a crime on these children, mm-hmm. the fact that he indulges in child porn makes the people who do the crime against the kids, it makes them do it. So, you know, I agree. Boy, I wish people who were convicted of rape and people who are convicted of child molestation got a tougher sentence. I'm not ready to lighten this guy's load just because the other people got a lighter sentence. I mean, what he does in the privacy of his own home causes somebody else to harm a child. And that's my problem with it.
I can understand the linkage you suggest there, but, you know, there are billions of pornographic images already in circulation. Okay?
Right.
And whether they were taken last week or 10 years ago, those are out there. And I can understand that, local communities want to consider it a crime and punish people who possess kiddie porn. And it's always awkward, you know, when you try to defend civil liberties and the rights of people to do things that you don't personally approve of. I mean, I'm not interested in children in a sexual way. And I don't condone that in any manner. But I am in favor of personal freedoms up to the edge of where they infringe on the freedom of someone else. And so whether it's images of kids or images of tomatoes or, a South Sea island that somebody wants to look at, as long as they don't act on that, and go try to recruit a kid to take pictures of, or
but somebody else had to recruit a kid to take a picture of. If you're looking at a photo of a child in a sex act, mm-hmm. somebody recruited a kid to take that picture.
Okay, then why not? Why not go? Why not
fill a market because somebody gets off on that? Then to me, I mean, you know, I'm off.
But this is similar. This is similar to drug crimes, okay, where possession of a small amount for personal use is considered one level of a violation or a crime, and the kingpins who are in business to import or distribute mass quantities for huge profits are treated with stiffer sentences. That makes sense to me. So I'm not trying to exonerate him completely. If Arizona outlaws kiddie porn and he violates that law, he is subject to enforcement of that law. My point is that to stack up these sentences, the guy's not going to live 200 years. He's 57 years old.
Right.
It's meaningless and it is gratuitous. And
well, I agree
he should be sentenced appropriately for the crime that he committed. One listener called and said he didn't have 20 images, he had 250 discs. Well, the number of pictures or a magazine, you know, whatever media he kept his porn in is irrelevant to me. The law simply states that you can't have child pornography. He violated that law. He should be punished accordingly. But this is excessive punishment that panders to the public perception that we need to crack down on these crimes. And in the big scheme of things, his mere possession of these photographs, to me, is not that big a crime. And if you're going to throw a 200-year sentence at somebody, it should be, you know, the king of crack, the king of meth, or somebody like that who really has profited from the destruction of people's lives. Don't get me started. By receiving this pornography, even if he purchased it, okay, you should go up the chain. Where did he buy it? Did he buy it online? Did he buy it from an adult bookstore? And who actually produced this content? That's where a stiff... poor choice of words. And a lengthy sentence should be meted out.
All right. I got you there. I mean, you got me there.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I just wanted to make the point that even though this guy is doing this in the privacy of his own home, the fact that he's in the market for that makes somebody else put a child at risk.
Well, the other thing that's a little chilling, and, you know, I'm learning about this case for the first time from the Supreme Court coverage or the news coverage of the Supreme Court appeal. He was a high school teacher.
Oh, geez.
Now,
yeah.
that gives me the willies. And, you know, for a high school teacher to be collecting child porn, you got to wonder, did he ever act out on his impulses and urges? And I don't know the answer to that. But, again, that is a more serious issue than what he had at home and used to entertain himself.
On the computer, correct.
Yeah.
Well, good talking to you, sir.
I'm really glad you called.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
Well, that does it for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Once again, if you want to help keep Peter B. live, drop an email to Billy Foster at KPHX. That's B. Foster at AAPHX.com. You can copy me, Peter, at PeterBCollins.com, and I will keep you posted on any developments in relation to the station's decision regarding the scheduling of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to be back at you tomorrow with another fine program on all of these same stations. I hope you'll join me.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Dominoes falling, downhill snowball, apt but unfortunate analogies for what's been happening on the world stock markets.
When the news has been bad and the market is declining, and the Chinese news was certainly not good, it suggested that things are going to go, you know, in the wrong direction in China. That started the snowball rolling, if that's the right way to say it, and the stock market started to decline.
Analyst Hugh Johnson there. China's stocks fell about 9%, big drop. U.S. followed with the Dow down more than 4%. Japan is following suit at more than 3% so far. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
Some people are saying that we've had a nice four-year bull market run and that this could be the beginning of a much-needed healthy correction in the market. Will we see 400-plus drops every day? Probably not, but it could be over a period of time coming down of the stock market to more sustainable levels.
I'm Mark Nolder at the White House. A day after declaring that the U.S. economy is cooking, President Bush was briefed about the plunge on Wall Street by Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. A spokesman would not disclose any details of the conversation, other than to say Mr. Bush's economic advisers are keeping an eye on the markets, as they always do, and believe the economy is fundamentally strong.
The Justice Department's looking again at about 100 old civil rights-era crime cases. A dozen of them so far have been given the green light for more investigation. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
We know that not every case will be resolved. In some cases, the perpetrators may already be dead. In some cases, we may find no federal jurisdiction. But these unsolved crimes remain on our radar.
Iraq wants to talk about stability and about getting Iran and Syria to start to cooperate. The U.S. has been invited to those talks and will attend.
Iran and Syria? The Bush administration hasn't wanted to give them a place at the Iraq table, but Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, in a Senate committee, announced this neighbors meeting as a new initiative by Iraq's government,
which we are going to fully support.
Patrick Clausen with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy comments.
Don't think this is going to be the centerpiece of U.S. strategy, but it's going to be a small part of what the administration